Well, God bless you. Welcome to the Wonderful Words of Life radio program. We are in Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to be looking at Jesus' answer of the third question posed to him about the end of the age. And to the Jew, this world, this age, is full of difficulty, hardship, full of misery. But when the Messiah comes and they enter into the golden age, that's going to be the golden age of Israel, restored to her glory and being ruled over by the Messiah, who also will rule over all the earth. So this chapter is very important. It covers the parable of the 10 virgins. It covers the parable of the talents and finally the judgment of the nations. So we want to begin in Matthew chapter 25, but let's pray first. Father in heaven, bless you. Thank you today for your word. Lord, we hold it up. Holy Spirit, help us both in the speaking and in the hearing of your word. And Father, we'll give you praise and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 1. Now, the theme of this parable is watchfulness. Verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Notice this, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now, notice that Jesus begins and says the kingdom of heaven shall be likened. So the Lord telling of the parable of the 10 virgins, he is reminding the disciples of the necessity of watchfulness, to ever be watchful for the Lord's return. Verse 2, and 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. That's important. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. See, they didn't have enough oil. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Notice that, verse 11, Lord, Lord, that is speaking of something that's emphatic. They're emphatically crying out, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. So they had an opportunity, the 5 foolish virgins, they had an opportunity. They were told to be prepared. They were told to watch. They did neither. They did not have the supply of oil to make it through. And so knowing that they had missed their time of visitation, they cried out to the Lord, 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 open to us. But the Lord replies and says, I know you not. So this is very important. The idea of watchfulness is very important. But also this parable is a simile of the Jewish wedding. Notice that first of all, in a Jewish wedding celebration, there's the betrothal. And that's the contract between families of the groom and of the bride, where the dowry price is fixed and a covenant is made. And that's the same today for Christians. We have a fixed price. And that fixed price that was required was the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And he did that to pay the ransom for us, the bride, the church. Now, the second phase is the groom's departure to go home to prepare a home for his bride. So the future bride and groom, each of them would go back to their separate families and they begin making preparations for their marriage. The groom would go to his father's house to prepare a place for he and his bride to live. The bride would go home and prepare herself to make herself ready. When the bride comes, she'll be ready to receive him. Then, after preparations have been made by the groom, he returns. Now, once the groom's preparations were made and the place prepared to receive his bride, all that was finished, the groom would make an announcement. Now, it was the father's determination, after preparations had been made, when the groom was to go capture his bride. And so the groom would arrive along with his wedding party to receive the bride. And the bride, along with her attendants, in this case, it would be the 10 virgins, they would accompany him with the bride, the bride, to the father's house. And so it was during this time that the groom and the bride would remain hidden in the bridal chamber. The wedding guests, in the meantime, they would be celebrating 7 days, the wedding feast and celebration. And then after this, the bride and the groom would also rejoin the festive party, and they would enjoy the celebration with them. And then after that, the groom would take his bride to live in the place that he has prepared for them. And we see this also in John chapter 4 and verse 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. We could say many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So Christ has gone into heavens. He's at the right hand of the throne of God. He's preparing a place for his bride. And at the Father's beckoning, he's going to return to capture his bride and take his bride to where he is. Amen. Praise God. Now, there's also a passage in Isaiah chapter 25 that speaks of this time. Isaiah 25, verses 6 through 8. And in this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines, aged wine, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined and aged wine. And he will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Isaiah is speaking of the millennial reign, which we're pointing to in this chapter 25 of the Gospel of Matthew. Now, the 10 virgins, 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. The wise kept sufficient oil to make it until the bride came. They had enough oil. Oil is representative of, you know, the Holy Spirit. Now, the 5 that were foolish, they brought no oil with them. The main point is this. The 5 wise virgins were watching. They were prepared. They were ready for the groom. The 5 foolish virgins were not. They brought no oil with them. They did not have enough to endure through the night. So when the call came, they were not prepared to receive the groom. And as a result, they were excluded from the wedding party. The 5 wise virgins, they expected the groom to come. The 5 foolish virgins, they did not expect the Lord to come. They did not prepare. They did not have enough oil to sustain themselves. And thus they missed the call of the groom and were left out of the celebration. And of course, this speaks to us of while the church is enjoying the marriage supper of the Lamb, the world in heaven, the world down on earth, they will be engulfed in the great tribulation period. So the center of this parable is this. What separates the wise virgins from the foolish is watchfulness and preparedness. If the oil represents the supply needed to endure until the end, these will be saved. Because that's exactly what Jesus said. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. The 5 foolish virgins, they were invited. They were part of this wedding celebration, but they didn't have the supply. They were not prepared and they did not endure. Amen. Praise God. So, Jesus says at the end of this parable, watch therefore, for you know not what hour wherein the Son of Man comes. Notice the terminology there. For you know not what hour. Hour, not day, not year, not time, not age, not eon, what hour. Hour of imminence. It's so important for us to live our life every day as if Jesus were coming in the next 5 minutes. And notice, Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes. He's coming. He came first through the virgin womb, but he's coming again as the Lord of glory. Amen. And he's coming after the faithful. He's coming after those who are watching for him. Praise God. All right, now let's look at the parable of the talents. This is in verses 14 through 30. This parable speaks to us of preparation. Verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now notice, Jesus says here, the kingdom of the heaven is. When he spoke the parable of the 10 virgins, he said, for the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. In this parable, he's saying, for the kingdom of heaven is. Amen. And unto one, let's read verse 14 again. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. That's very important. Verse 15. The Lord gave to each man according to his several ability. Amen. His ability. In other words, when the Lord handed these men their talents, he expected them. He knew that they were able to take that which he gave to them and produce something with it. Now, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. This is important. After a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and reckons with them. There is a day of accounting coming to all of God's servants. So the Lord's, he's been gone for a long period of time. Now he's returned and he calls his servants into account for what they've done with that which he gave to them. And verse 20 says, and so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Now, this servant, he doubled the Lord's investment money. He increased the kingdom. Praise God. And his Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So this faithful servant, and the Lord calls him faithful, he was rewarded for his faithfulness. And his faithfulness was rewarded with increase. He was promoted from a servant status to the status of a ruler, ruler over many things. Now, verse 22, he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Notice the same reward was given to this servant as was given to the servant with 5 talents. Whatever that this servant with the 2 talents, he took that which was given to him and he gained 2 others beside it. In other words, he increased. Amen. And he too was promoted from servant status to be a ruler. Now, verse 24. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not strawed. Let me take a moment and just let's look at this verse 24. Now, Paul said this concerning the Lord God. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. God is goodness through his grace and mercy, but he's also severe in his judgment. This is why you and I fear God. We don't fear him in a negative way. We fear him in a positive way because we know that he is severe. He will always judge and do what's right. He is severe in judgment for men's sin and their rebelliousness, but he's also merciful for those who are humble and who yield to him and do what he asked and commanded them to do. Amen. For instance, Jesus commanded us to love one another. Are we loving one another? Well, if we're not loving one another, guess what? We are going to be, we're going to experience the judgment of God. This is a command. A command to love is a command. God commands us to love one another. Amen. And if we're not loving one another, then what do we have to look forward to? The judgment of Almighty God. Now, verse 24 again. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you are a hard man, weeping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not strawed. In other words, you are harsh in your judgments. And I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there you have what is yours. There's an element of pride revealed in this that had the one talent. He was afraid. Well, these other two, they feared the Lord too. But what did they do? They went out and they worked. And the five talents gained five more. The one that had the two talents gained two more. This guy, this fellow here, this third servant, unfaithful servant, took what the Lord had given him and went and hid it in the earth. In other words, he did nothing. Verse 26, his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. You ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. Then at my coming, I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which has 10 talents. For to every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now this servant is called wicked. And wicked comes from the Greek word poneros. And in this context, it means evil, wicked, or bad. Now, the purpose of the Lord giving each of these servants an amount of money was to use it to gain more for the master. So the two unprofitable servants, the two profitable servants expected the Lord to return. And so, fearing the Lord, they worked hard and they produced double of what they were given. In other words, they were given five, they produced five more. They were given, the other was given two, he produced two more. So they were ready for the Lord when he returned. The unprofitable servant, he didn't expect the Lord to return. He didn't care. He was afraid, but he didn't expect the Lord. He was hoping the Lord wouldn't turn. Why did he hope that the Lord would not return? Because he had no plans to be ready when he did. He didn't care about the Lord's return. He was not prepared for the Lord's return. And so the day of accounting comes, and the day of accounting comes to all of us. We can't put it off. As a result, the unfaithful servant, he was locked out. And I like this verse of scripture we studied in Matthew chapter 24, verses 45 through 51. Notice what it says. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord has set over his household to give them their food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he will set him over all that he hath. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, the Lord tarries, and shall begin to beat his fellow servants, and shall eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he is not expected, and in an hour when he knoweth not, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's many in the body of Christ that have been given a talent. That talent needs to be used for the kingdom. This is how, through watchfulness and through preparation, this is how we are waiting upon the Lord. Amen. All right, now, let's look at the last part of this chapter. This is called the Judgment of the Nations. And this judgment is to take place at the very outset of the millennial reign of Christ. Verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Now, just after the second coming of Christ, after he has destroyed the armies of the Antichrist, throwing them with the false prophet into the lake of fire, after he has bound Satan and thrown him into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, a Jesus with the angels will gather all nations to bring them to judgment. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep. So there's going to be a time where all the nations are going to be gathered. Now, Jesus has returned. He's getting ready to set up his millennial reign. And now the nations that are going to be allowed to come into the millennial kingdom are those that are going to be the sheep. Those that will be refused will be the goats. Verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Amen. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This is not a new thing. This was a fact in the mind of God before he ever made the universe. And now we see the fulfillment of it. Verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then shall the righteous, notice this, the sheep on the right, the righteous answer him saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave you drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw thee sick and in prison and came unto me? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. See, these are the reasons the sheep nations will be allowed to enter into the millennium. They are going to enjoy the millennium because of their compassion and mercy upon Christ's brethren. And because of that, during the tribulation period, because of that, they're given the privilege to enjoy the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now, verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was in hunger, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungry, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then he answered them, saying, verily, I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. See, we are called, the church is called the body of Christ. We are one in Christ. And when the world persecutes the body, they are also persecuting the head. And God is the judge. He will always judge and do what's right. And he is the one that's keeping an account. So we don't have to seek revenge. We don't have to seek for retribution. That is all in God's hands. He'll take care of it. Amen. Praise God. So we see that this is the judgment of the goat nations. They're judged because of their hardened, their unsympathetic treatment of the brethren of Christ. Now that's the saved Jew, and that's the nation of Israel, and that's the saved Gentile during the tribulation period. The brethren Jesus is referring to are the Jews and also the Gentiles who are part of the family of God. Amen. Now, if God is going to judge the nations like that, how much is he going to judge individuals who treat the church, who harm the church, who persecute the church? How about all these people going around burning down churches or shooting up pastors and church members? Where do you think they're going to stand in the judgment? Well, verse 46 tells us, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Think about that. Whole nations will be taken away by the angels, and they will be cast into the lake of fire. My. Think about this at the end of time. The nations, many of them will be allowed to enter into the millennium, and they'll experience 1,000 years of peace and safety. But at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, the devil will be released from his pit, and he'll go and he'll deceive the nations once again. And these nations, they'll rebel against Christ. They'll follow Satan in a last attempt to overthrow the king, but fire will descend from heaven and instantly destroy them all. These will go into the white throne judgment. Death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire, along with the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the devil himself. Then God will create new heavens and new earth. The curse will forever be removed, and God will wipe away all tears. All the saints will live in perfect harmony, and all will enter into the eternal state where the King of Glory reigns. And throughout the ages to come, it's the King of Glory that will show to us the riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. This is the eternal destiny of the faithful. This is also the eternal destiny of the unfaithful. The destiny of the faithful are those that have prepared themselves to receive the Lord when he comes. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is this: are we prepared to receive the Lord when he comes? So the overarching theme of this chapter is faithfulness and preparation. Those who are faithful and watch will be blessed, and those who do not watch and are not faithful and aren't prepared, they will not. And the contrast is this: to the faithful, they will enjoy and enter into the joy of the Lord. The unfaithful, they will experience weeping and gnashing of teeth. So I have to ask you this question: have you made preparation when Jesus comes? Have you asked Christ to come into your heart and life? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? Do you have the assurance that Jesus is living and reigning on the inside of you? And are you making preparation to receive the King? Are you ever watchful for his call? If you haven't, you need to do so now. You need to repent. You need to turn with faith. You need to turn towards God. Ask him to forgive you. If you're not saved, ask Christ to come into your heart and life, and he will do that. He's faithful to do that. That's the reason why he paid the penalty for your sin on the cross. So, Father, we thank you today. We give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you were to die today, that you would be prepared for heaven? If you're not sure, then I encourage you to pray this prayer with me. Father God, I come to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. I repent and ask you to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I surrender my heart and life to you. By faith, I believe I receive you as my Lord and Savior, and I thank you for receiving me In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer and desire to know more about the gift of Christ that the Heavenly Father offers you, then email us at rbtc86@gmail.com. We will be glad to answer your questions promptly and provide you at your request with materials that will help you to grow in your faith in the Lord Jesus. This is Patsy Dunning. Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. And let me remind you to tune in to this station at the same time next week to hear more of the wonderful words of life. God bless you, and remember what Jesus said, "It is the Spirit who gives life."